that I love you is if I know you love me too. That's how shallow our love becomes, but Calvary's love reached
Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Jones, and praise God he did take our place. And the reason he did, because he knew we couldn't take our own. And praise God that he loved us enough that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, immediately upon trusting Jesus, have everlasting life. Thank God that salvation doesn't start at the return of Christ. It started the day I got born again. December the 2nd, 1984, when I came down this aisle right here, you know when salvation began for me? Instantly, that day. Still going, still saved. You know why? Because still got a God, still got the Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. But you know that old accuser is going to try to accuse you. Oh yeah, he's going to try to bring out things, say, listen, he can't possibly be. He didn't mean it, and yet the Lord has your name and my name just sitting right there in that Lamb's Book of Life. It's there. And by the way, can I say to you, it's in permanent ink. It's not in pencil. Revelation chapter 1, would you please? We're going to look at two passages of Scripture. I'm going to, if I could, take one phrase out of both passages of Scripture. How many believe that the Lord or the coming of the Lord is soon? You believe the coming of the Lord is soon? How many of you believe that there's nothing else left in prophecy that has to be fulfilled before Jesus comes back? He's ready and waiting. He's just listening for the voice of the Father. You believe that? All right, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, all right? Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3. Would you stand with me, please? Revelation 1 and verse number 3. And then we're going to flip over real quick and look at Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10. Now John, writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein." Now here's the phrase I want you to look at for the message this morning. For The time is at hand. The time is at hand. Keep your place there. Go over to Revelation 22 and verse number 10. John says it one more time. And he saith unto me, speaking of the Lord, he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Why? Because he wants us to know what is coming. He wants us to know what to expect. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And that's the title of the message this morning. The time is at hand. Father, bless the message this morning and bless us as we worship together and as we enjoy the Word of God. And I pray that you'd, Holy Spirit, do something in our heart, convict us about something that maybe we've kind of strayed away from you on and need to get back on track. And we pray that you'd show yourself wonderfully great today. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. And you can be seated. The phrase, the time is at hand, is only used just a few times in the Bible. But most of the time in Scripture, each time that little phrase is used, it's always referring to something that is to happen shortly. Something that is soon to occur. And John writes here, he said, blessed are they that read, blessed that they hear, blessed that they that keep the words of the prophecy of this book. He said, for the time is at hand. Now, though the end of the event, though time is coming and the coming of Christ, though the end of the event may be remote and the series of events may stretch far into the future, the beginning was soon to start. John was saying, I'm not telling you necessarily that it's all going to come at one time. He said, but I'm telling you, the beginning is at hand. It's close by. And let me tell you something, dear folks, what's going to kick this whole thing off is when the archangel shouts, the trump of God sounds, and Jesus comes back. And you know who he's looking for? He's looking for those that are his. And let me tell you something. You can believe what you want. I just believe the only people that's going to hear the shout of the archangel are his. That's the reason most of the world is going to be confounded. Hey, what happened? Where's old brother so-and-so? He ain't showing up work this week. Hey, I think the only people that's going to hear the sound of the voice. Did not Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice? That voice is going to shout one day, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Now, boy, there's a lot of things I'd love to see happen in my life, but boy, none greater than to be alive at the coming of Christ. You say, why do you want to be one of the ones that coming at the coming of Christ? I don't know. There's just something about this thing of dying I don't like. I don't want to have to face that day. But if I do, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why? Because of Christ. I'm just here to tell you, the time, my dear friends, is at hand. The time is at hand. May I say to you this morning that the time is at hand, and God knew the time was at hand just as God began the process of redemption immediately after the fall of man. Man had sinned against God, had gotten away from Him. Fellowship was broken. You know what? The time was at hand. Redemption had to be taken care of. And so God began to provide a way for man to be redeemed back to Himself according to Genesis chapter 3. And verse number 15. Well, time began to move along pretty quick. About 4,000 years. Went by, and we find that, sure enough, in the fullness of time was come. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4 and 5. May I say to you, when it came time for the virgin birth of Christ, it was at hand. You see, redemption was at hand immediately upon the fall of man. And now we find here is that Savior, that child that was born of a virgin, now born into the world some 4,000 years later. We find now in Matthew chapter 1 verse number 18. Remember there, the Scripture says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. You know what time it was? The time was at hand. It was a continuation of Genesis 3:15. The time had come for the Son of God to be born. Well, we know that The Lord Jesus Christ lived some 33 plus years on this earth, and yet the time was at hand when he was taken by wicked men. Many times he would tell his disciples, "My time is at hand," or many times he would tell them, "My time is not yet at hand. My time has not come." But in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 18, he did say, "My time is at hand." You see, his death was shortly to come. His death, the crucifixion of the Savior, it was at hand. You see, he ate the Passover and then was arrested and crucified in less than 24 hours. I think when he said, "My time is at hand," it was less than 24 hours from the time he said it to the time he was crucified. When he was crucified, they took his body and laid it in a tomb. Oh, about 3 days, 3 nights. So how do you know it was 3 little days and 3 little nights, preacher? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40, "As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be." You say, how many hours are there in a day? Well, you know what? They teach us that in school. There's 12 hours in a day and 12 hours in a night. You add those two together, and you get 24 hours in a day. That means there's 24 hours in a literal day times 3 Jesus could not have raised on Friday. Amen. Now, all I'm saying is, folks, it's just a mathematical thing. You know what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying is, when he was crucified, when he was resurrected, the time was at hand. 3 days, 3 nights later, the stone rolled away. And out came the Son of God. Why? Time was at hand. Well, he spent some 40 days or so on this earth. And according to Acts chapter 1, he stepped on a cloud and ascended back to the Father. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 1, you'll find this in verses 6 through 11. He looked at his disciples and they said, "Oh, is the kingdom about to come?" He said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons." He says, basically, can I put it in common day vernacular? Don't be worrying about when I'm coming back. You just be concerned about what I told you to do. You see, the thing about it is, do we want the Lord to come back? Yes, we do. But you know what we need to be concerned about while we're waiting for Him to come back? What He told me to do. What He commanded me to do. You see, when Jesus ascended back and sits at the right hand of God, may I say to you, the time is at hand, and there He sits today at the right hand of the Father waiting for the time. And I believe it's coming soon. I believe that the signs of the times are here. You see, now that these events that we just talked about have come to pass, what we've got to do now is focus on the events that are to come shortly. Now, keep your place there in Revelation 1. I want to show you the attitude of some in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, because the attitude of these dear folks in 2 Peter 3 is still alive today. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Peter says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days." You know, in those days, that's the time when the time's at hand. He says, "There shall be in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." Now listen to this. "And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, first of all, that's recorded there, but may I say to you, he's recording what some of these scoffers are saying, and that is not true. It is not the same as it is and has been from the beginning of creation. Why? Because God has already made a plan, and He has put the plan in process, and now redemption is available for all because of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the time's at hand, my friend. The time is at hand today. Now go back to Revelation chapter 1. The challenge given to us here by John in Revelation 1 in verse number 3 in our text verse is that a man can be blessed. Now that's an interesting word because we see it quite often in the Bible, the word blessed. That means here that we can find that we can actually receive understanding, that we can actually receive encouragement. That means we can actually receive knowledge. He said, "Blessed is the man that does 3 things." First of all, did you notice he said, "Blessed is the man that readeth the words of this prophecy? You see, there's a lot of people, I don't know if you're one of them, they just say, oh, preacher, I don't ever read the Revelation. That scares me. I don't ever read it because I don't like what it says. But does your Bible say, blessed is the man that readeth the words of this prophecy? You know what he's telling us as believers? Read the book. Read the prophecy. He says, listen, many times we find Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And may I say to you this morning as a preacher of the gospel, I would not have you, and neither would the Lord have you ignorant, brethren. That's the reason he said, blessed is the man that readeth the words of this prophecy. That's personal responsibility. You see, we're to know exactly what is at hand. Hey, John said the time is at hand. All right, what's at hand? How are we going to find out what he's talking about if we don't read the prophecy? You say, yeah, but I get on over there. I tell you what, if the first few chapters of the book of Revelation, you just can't seem to get into it, let me ask you to go over and start about chapter 4 and therefore, and it gets real interesting. Real interesting. Now, I'm just here to tell you today, he said, blessed is he that readeth the words of this prophecy. We need to know exactly what is at hand. May I say to you, we need to understand the climate of what's at hand. We don't have time to read all the scriptures, but everybody agree we're in the last days? Matter of fact, did you know the apostles thought they were in the last days? You know why? Because the attitude was exactly the same. Where is he? Hey, he said he was coming back. As a matter of fact, when you read Scripture, you find out just shortly after that you see almost an idea of the apostles that they thought, you know what, we're going to go do some work. He'd come back here pretty soon. He'll be back here in a few days. Set the kingdom up. Boy, are we going to have time setting the kingdom up. You know what? Now he's going to have his way. We're going to get to be a part of it. That's what they thought. You kind of read that sentiment when you read the book of Acts. But see, he said, blessed are they that read the words of this prophecy. We need to know exactly what is at hand. I'm here to tell you, the coming of Christ is at hand, and the sheep and the goats are going to be separated on that day. The time's coming. The time's coming. But we need to understand the climate of what's at hand. We need to look around and understand that Jesus said, guys, let me give you some idea. I'm not concerned about you knowing the times or the seasons. He says, but I do want you to understand that so as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. I don't know if we're quite there yet, but we're getting there real quick. You see, we need to understand what the climate is. Look around, folks. Hey, some would make us think that everything's getting better and better and better. No, it's not, because I went past the gas pump this morning. It ain't getting better. It's getting worse. You ever tried to remodel your house? It ain't getting better. It's getting worse. Why? We need to understand the climate of what is at hand. May I say to you, we need to see the characters involved in what's at hand. You see, when you read the prophecy that John's talking about here, you'll find that there's basically two main characters. Those characters are God and Satan. Those are basically the two main characters. Now, there's a whole lot of other cast members, but the two main characters are God and Satan. And let me tell you something. I read the end of the book. Don't be afraid. Don't be concerned. I've already read the end of the book. You know who wins? We do! That's the reason when we sing the song, we're on the winning side. We can actually see believing it. You say, man, I can't wait to come back on those white horses. Man, I'm going to give somebody a knuckle sandwich when I get here. No, you're not. You know what you're going to do? You're going to do the same thing I am. We're going to ride coming back with Christ, and he's going to do all the work, and we're going to get all the credit. Yeah! Right? He's going to do everything because he's going to destroy them by the word of his mouth. We're going to be probably the most useless army in the history of the world. I don't care, brother, because I'm dressed in white. I got a crown on my head and on a white horse. And listen, I used to ride horses years ago when I was a kid. I hadn't ridden one in years since then. But what I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that day And I come back on that white horse. You know why he wants us to read the prophecies? We need to know the characters involved. Did you know that you're involved in this prophecy of this book? You see, we need to digest the results of what's at hand. Listen to me, dear friend. There is coming a day when the Lord shall come, the eastern sky shall split, and those that have been born again will be caught up to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We need to be able to digest the results of what's at hand. But may I say to you also, there will be those that will be left behind. Left without God. Now you believe what you want to believe, but I believe the Bible teaches that once a person has had opportunity to accept Jesus Christ and rejected Him, and they're alive at the day of the coming of, of Jesus Christ, they're not going to have another chance. Now, I'm just here to tell you, folks. You say, yeah, but we believe in God of second chances. I know, while we're alive, He does give us second and third and fourth chances. But when it comes to salvation, there's only one way. And a person who has rejected that way, listen, the Bible says, when that day comes, they will be sent strong delusion to where they'll even believe a lie. And they'll follow the Antichrist like bees on honey. That's what happens. Now, I've seen you say, where is that in the Bible? That's what I'm saying. Blessed is the person that readeth the words of the prophecy in this book. It's right here. We just got to read it. We got to digest the results. May I say to you, secondly, he says, not only are blessed to those that read the words of this prophecy, he said, blessed are those that hear the words of this prophecy. We say, well, how can I hear or how can I read and hear? Well, it's probably two ways that you're going to hear the words of the prophecy in this book. First of all, through preaching. Through preaching. That's the reason we come to church, so that we can get preached to, so that we can understand what the words are of the prophet's book, so that we can understand what's at hand, who's at hand, who are the characters coming, well, who's going to be involved when this day at hand comes. You see, he said, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy. You can hear it through preaching. But wait a minute, let me tell you one other place that you can hear that voice. You can hear the words of this prophecy. That's when you get on your knees in that quiet place and you can hear it through the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God that speaks to your soul concerning those that will be left behind. Folks, I'm going to tell you something today. Hell is a real place. And people are going there every single day by the droves. You say, well, how can it be so big? I mean, if all these people are dying and going to hell by the droves, hell can't hold everybody. May I say, too, that Jesus said that hell enlargeth itself every day. People say, how big is hell? As big as it needs to be today, but it'll be bigger tomorrow. Yeah, it'll be bigger tomorrow because there'll be more people there. And people are actually going there. I wonder if we really believe that. I wonder if we really believe that people actually die and go to hell. You know what I wish God would do for most of us? I wish He'd just go sometime in your prayer closet, sometime and just split the earth wide open, take you and just stick your head down in there and let you look for a while. I promise you, you'd never be the same. You'd never be the same. He said, blessed are they that read the prophecy of the words of this book, or the words of the prophecy of this book, and hear the words of the prophecy of this book. Look at what he says, number three. And then he says, and keep those things which are written therein. Now, what he's saying here is this. He's saying, you need to keep in mind and in your heart what's going to happen. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Amen. He said, don't forget. Sometimes, you know what? We get so busy that we forget the Lord is coming again. He's actually going to come again. He's actually going to split that eastern sky, and I'm actually going up. You see, he said, keep the words or keep the things which are written in this book. We're to keep them in mind. We're to live each day in regard to the future. We're to obey those things which are required from us. And we're to use them as motivation to live right walk right, talk right, be right, and may I say, be a light of the gospel. Because he said, blessed is he that readeth the words of this prophecy, that heareth the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. You see, this is why we're challenged to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Did you hear that? We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because you know what? When we get together, what we need to understand, we need to do, we need to read the book, we need to hear the book, and then we need to encourage one another. You know what? I know you're going through a hard time, but I got some good news for you. Jesus is coming again. Do you know He's coming back? And this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruption shall put on incorruption. And one of these days when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And all the heartache will be gone. You see, I'm just telling you, the day is at hand. Let me give you a couple things to think about and I'll be done. That's this. First of all, when you read the prophecy of not just the book of the Revelation, you read the Word of God, you will find something is at hand, dear friends. And that means it is shortly to occur. And that is, number one, the persecution of the saints. Now, we don't like to hear that. But you know, that's part of the prophecy of this book. The persecution of the saints is at hand. Remember, I told you a while ago, Jesus said in Matthew 24, so as it is in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. I want you to notice what Paul says to young Timothy. He says, yea, and all, no exceptions, and all that will live godly, separated from the world, preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. He says, them, all they will that will live godly in Christ Jesus, it didn't say they might. It didn't say there's a possibility. It said they shall suffer persecution. They shall suffer persecution. I'm here to tell you that the persecution of the saints is at hand. Go back, if you would, to verse number 1 of that same chapter. Paul said, this know also that in the last days, you know what day that is? That's the time that's at hand. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Boy, that word perilous, that's kind of one of those fancy words, but I just don't even like the sound of it, do you? He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, kind of like the Pharisees, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. You know what's going to happen, folks? What's at hand? The persecution of the saints. Yeah, Jesus even forewarned His disciples that persecution is sure to the saints of God. When Jesus sent out His disciples, His apostles, remember, two by two, He told them, I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Boy, that don't sound positive, does it? Boy, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. But He said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. He said, because, dear men, I want you to understand, the servant is not above his master. They hated Him, they will hate you. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, and I want you to understand something. As we see that day approaching, and as the time becomes closer and closer at hand, these people will begin to creep into the church of the living God. And they will begin to disguise themselves as believers. And they will mingle among the people of God and pretend to be part of the people of God. But may I say to you, they can only fool people for so long, and they certainly hadn't fooled God at all. But that's the reason, as we see the day approaching, as the time becomes closer and closer at hand, you know what we need to do, Trinity Baptist Church? You know what we need to do, believer, today? You need to keep your eyes open for wolves. You need to keep your eyes open, even in the body, even in the church. Because they're coming in, I'm telling you. And there's going to be a day when this preacher is going to be preaching from this pulpit, and there's going to be a person or a group of people stand up and begin to yell and begin to scream and to begin to holler out. And listen, and then what are we going to do? We're just going to sit there and say, well, bless their heart. They shouldn't do that. He's just preaching the truth. And see, we don't like to think about it, but it's coming. It's coming. Now, the thing about it is, we the people of God, are we just going to let it happen? You see, they're going to get in. They're going to find their way in. And they'll find their way in because they have a form of godliness, yet denying the power thereof. The Scripture says, from such, turn away. You see, the persecution of the saints is at hand. May I say to you, secondly, that eternity with Jesus for the saints is at hand? Oh yeah, there's persecution coming. We don't like to hear that, but it's coming, my dear friend. And let me tell you something. You better start rolling your sleeves up, because it's 2010. And the fight's on, my friend. The fight for that book, the fight for freedom, the fight for religious rights, the fight to be a soul winner, the fight to pass out gospel literature, the fight's on. You better roll your sleeves up. You say, where do we find that? Read it. He said, you blessed is the man that reads, that hears, and that keeps prophecy. The words of the prophecy of this book. The reason most of us don't know anything about it is because we don't read it. And that's the reason we get caught off guard. And that's the reason, as a born-again believer, I'm afraid. Oh, I hope this doesn't happen. But you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid that so many don't even believe in the second coming of Christ. They're saved. They want to believe in it. But, you know, it's kind of like, it's been this way since the beginning of creation. Where is He coming? You know, the unfortunate, we're going to have too many believers get caught off guard, because the Bible says He's going to come as a thief in the night. Two will be in the field, one taken, and the other left. Two will be in bed, one taken, the other left. Now, I'm just here to tell you, my dear friend, that here this morning, the time is at hand, persecution of the saints is at hand, and eternity with Jesus is at hand. Take your Bible, if you would, go to 1 Thessalonians 4. You shouldn't be very far from there. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Oh, there's one of those right there. Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Those are those without God. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I want you to notice this. Look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another. What does your Bible say? With these what? Did not John say, blessed is the man that readeth, that heareth, that keepeth the words of this prophecy? You see, that's the reason, my dear friend, that we need that time together. Because as we see the day approaching, as persecution intensifies against our personal life, our personal families, and against the church of the living God, we're going to need to comfort one another with those words. We don't have time to turn there, but you can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 through 58 there. At the end there, after he begins talking about and says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He tells us to be ye steadfast. Be steadfast. Why? Because that day's coming. See, eternity with Jesus for the saints is at hand. The marriage supper of the Lamb is at hand. The thousand-year reign of Christ is at hand. An eternity of singing and praising and worshiping God Almighty is at hand. See, you've been waiting for that perfect voice, haven't you? It's at hand. It's soon to be. You see, forever with my saved family is at hand. Isn't that going to be fun? Isn't that going to be fun to have a family reunion with all those that have gone ahead before us? You see, eternity in heaven for the saints is at hand. And that's the wonderful thing about those that die in Christ. We know that, you know what? We say bye-bye down here, and one day, hello up there. You see, eternity with Jesus for the saints is at hand. Oh, by the way, can I say one more thing before we're done? Not only is persecution of the saints at hand, not only is eternity with Jesus at hand, but may I say to you that death is at hand. It is something, if Jesus tarries his coming, that will be soon to occur. And it's coming for each and every individual one of us if the Lord tarries his coming. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 says, "And as it is appointed," you and I have an appointment with death if Jesus tarries his coming. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." One time to die. James said, "What is your life? It is even but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." Ecclesiastes verse 3, or chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "There's a time to be born and there is a time to die." You see, I'm just here to tell you that death is at hand. You see, death for the believer is present with the Lord. It's a happy day. It's a promotion day. It's a reunion day. It's a perfect day. But may I say that death for the unbeliever results in a second death? You see, the death for an unbeliever results not just in one, but in a second death. And that second death condemns them to a lake of fire and eternal separation from God. May I say to you, for an unbeliever, the time is at hand, but that day for you will not be a happy day. That day for you will not be a glorious day. That day for you will not be a painless day. It will be a day that will introduce one person, that individual, to the most horrific place and people ever known to man. I'm just here to tell you this morning, the time is at hand. The persecution of the saints, the time's at hand. It's coming, folks. So why are we amazed when we see attacks against the people of God and the church of the living God? But may I say too, eternity with Jesus and the saints, for the saints is at hand, forever to be with the Lord. And then may I say that death is at hand. You see, we have no promise of tomorrow. You and I, death could be at hand. Something soon to occur, death could be at hand for some of us on our way home from church today. We have no idea what's waiting. But may I say to you today that even though death is at hand, may I say to you that salvation is at hand this morning. You say, "Where is it? I can't see it, preacher." It's just simply by faith accept the promises of God and accept and understand. You know what? We've offended God. Our sin has offended a thrice holy God. And salvation is not of me, it's all of Jesus. You see, I just have to admit that I've sinned and I've offended God, and that there's an awful penalty on that sin, which is death and hell, separation from God for all eternity. But also, I need to get a hold of the fact that Jesus has already paid the debt. All I've got to do is cash in on it. Hey, you know what? It's at hand this morning. Salvation is at hand. Now, the decision is up to you. Would you bow your heads this morning with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many would say this morning, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no question, heaven's my home. I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. If Jesus came today and split the eastern sky, I'd go up to be with the Lord, no question about it."